Bill Clinton can jerk one out in a government building, but when the rest of us do it, it's a problem. We should all have the right to bang one out in a government building. And you can quote me on that.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
You get a little recorder like the ones they put in like Build-A-Bears. And be like, great job, Christina. I love you so much. And then you put it in there and you press this little button and then you can spoon at night and be like, oh, I'm the best. I love this for me.
Your dick is the best, Brian. Thanks again for fucking me so hard. You almost knocked my fake pussy out. Good night, sweetie.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
2:30 in the morning!
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is the chairman of Risen and Jizzin, Christina. Best to you, Christina.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Christina coming to us virtually as my house has turned into the Petri dish that I should have expected.
Barf.
Yeah, barf, indeed. The Petri dish that comes every winter. As soon as you close the doors and it gets cold outside, this place becomes a toxic wasteland of shit, pee, poop, snot. Christina, you want no part of this. You want no part of this. I'm telling you right now.
No.
There's no amount of Lysol that can take care of that. I'm going to buy stock in Lysol is what I'm going to do. Because we have been Lysoling the shit out of everything. But all the kids are sick. Because that is exactly what happens. Around the holidays, a vacation, or anytime something important comes up, all of our children, they just get sick. And, I mean, I guess that most parents experiencing this in some way, shape, or form. But, you know, like when I was single, I would get sick. Well, when I was a smoker, I'd get sick often. I get a bad sinus infection every year, and then I definitely get an upper respiratory infection. Yeah, it was a different time back then. We all smoked. we all like cigarettes.
Okay.
Sure. Have you ever smoked a cigarette?
No.
No, you've never smoked a cigarette?
No, nope,
never. Do you have friends that smoke cigarettes?
Yes.
Yeah, you do? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so it's still there. It's out there in the ethos.
A couple of friends, like, smoke, but then, most of my friends are more, like, the drinking kind of smoker.
Yeah.
Which I'm, like, gross. Like, I'll tell you this.
Okay.
Get a kick out of this.
All right.
One time. Morning after a night out, I was with the guy I was seeing at the time, and I wasn't feeling so hot in the morning, but I wasn't really sure how bad it was, obviously.
A little hangover?
And we turned over, he kissed me, and then I went,
And you puked?
I didn't puke. I gasped, and then I sprinted to the bathroom and barfed.
Oh, because of
immediate
the smell
barf.
Of his...
Because of the taste of the, cigarette.
Yeah.
And and so that started, the worst... One of the worst hangover days of my life.
As an OCD guy, as a guy who probably has a touch of the obsessive, right? Cleanliness is super important to me. I take 2 showers a day, shave all the time. I mean, I'm just I don't like certain smells or dirt or anything really on my body.
I think that makes you just a persnickety snizzler and does not diagnose you with OCD. But
let's not go self-diagnosing ourselves. Let's not be, what did the guy, I read this article yesterday and the guy said, narcissistic spiritual leader. Not self-diagnose, but I think you're right. I think I'm a bit persnickety. A lot persnickety. Let's just call it like I see it.
You're just a persnickety snizzler.
So when I smoked cigarettes, I would purposefully smoke cigarettes in a manner that I knew would cut down on the amount of cigarette smell that would be on my clothing. So I'd always smoke down draft or I'd smoke outside with a fit. I never wanted that hanging cigarette smoke smell that you often find on true cigarette smokers. I never was a heavy smoker.
I hate that.
But the drinking and the cigarettes is the thing that killed me. It's why I stopped drinking is because I knew that if I continued to drink, I would never stop smoking cigarettes. It just would never happen because beer and cigarettes went hand in hand for me and I couldn't do one without the other. But when I smoked,
that's so gross.
I was sick. It was disgusting. It was disgusting. But I guess a little feather in my cap. Astrid has never smoked a cigarette in her life either, and she hates the smell of cigarette smoke. But she told me, or she tells me, maybe this is just her making me feel better, she would always say, you don't smell like smoke. You don't smell like smoke. You take care to make sure that, you have a mint or something. She's like, you never really smelled like a smoker. I think she's just trying to make me feel better.
I can't believe she started dating you while you were a smoker.
She did. She.
That's crazy to me.
Listen, the hard ones with the hard ones. It is what it is.
I suppose so.
Yeah. And but when I was a cigarette smoker, I would get at least one terrible sinus infection every single year. And I mean, like, terrible, like, weeks of coughing and snot. And my dumb ass, on some occasions, would just continue to smoke cigarettes, because that's what happens when you're a cigarette smoker. You just continue to smoke cigarettes.
What the fuck?
I know, Christina, but, you know, again, we're... We didn't know what we know now. We had no idea that cigarettes would kill you. It was an aperitif.
Yes,
it helped
did.
With digestion. Yes, we did. We
knew. This wasn't in 1940.
No, people in the 60s knew this. And then they had these commercials where they doctors mm-hmm. would get on the commercial, the television commercial, with like Paul Malls. They'd be like, Paul Malls, as a doctor, I know that Paul Malls help my patients digest their meals better. Makes them more active and keeps them fresh and focused. Paul Malls, nice. For your health. It's amazing.
That's honestly insane.
I know. But, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And I guess.
Yes, I suppose.
I know that tobacco companies also spent billions of dollars covering it up. So.
I was going to say, they probably did know, and they probably were just getting their money.
Yeah, of course. And then I wonder, like, all the things that I use in my house, like the spray Lysol, like, how they're going to find out one day that kills you, too. And then I'm going to be like...
Probably. Literally, like, everything we own or ingest or use is killing us. So it's whatever at this
all
point.
Over. It's all over. Our little microbiomes here are just getting destroyed by everything that we put into ourselves and the atmosphere and all that. But what are you going to do? I mean, it's just the way it is.
What are you going to do?
Speaking of our little bio microdomes, I saw the most interesting Instagram post I've seen in a long time. It was a guy on stage, TED Talk. And as a younger person, younger than I am, I wanted you to know this information because I think it's going to be important for you growing up as a young woman in this world.
Okay. I'm ready.
Let me mansplain to you. Let me talk down to you.
Great. Super.
As both your friend, your boss, and your co-host, I'm going to talk down to your mansplain now. Okay, so listen to what he said. He said that if you are alive in the year 2023 and you are at least 18 years old, let me give you the breakdown of what's going to happen in your life with your time that you have left on this earth. If you live to 90 years old, if you live to 90 years old and you are over the age of 18 living in 2023, you will likely use 1/3 of the months available in your life, the remaining months on your life, 1/3 of those will go to sleeping. Okay?
I love that.
Another 1/3 will go to the following things: working, schooling, driving, chores, showering, and shitting. Okay?
Is that all in one?
That's all in one. That's 1/3 right there. All those things are 1/3. I couldn't believe you, like, the average person will spend, I forgot what it was, 30 months in traffic or some shit like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's the traffic ones are crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. Okay. 93% of the remaining time of your life, you, Christina, and me, and my kids, and everybody else here on this stuck in this fiery hellhole, is going to be spent interacting with a digital device, with a screen. 93% of your quote-unquote free time, where you're otherwise not occupied with something, I guess, more important than screen time or sleeping, is going to be spent on a motherfucking screen. And I know this is true. It rings true in every particle of my body. It rings true because I think I'm well on my way to spending 93% of my free time on a screen, looking at a screen, touching a screen, feeling up a screen, making love to a screen, something like that. I am definitely on my way to killing most of my remaining free time on a digital device. How do you feel about this information?
I think that's so true because, like, everything I do is related somehow to, like, the screen or the internet or whatever. Because, like, I mean, I'm a really big reader. But even that, I read mostly on my Kindle and I get my books digitally through the library most of the time.
Oh.
So, like, I use the app on my phone to go to the library and I get my little thing and I send it to my Kindle. And then
you can do this.
Change your life, Brian.
You can do this? Really?
Yes.
Seriously?
Oh my gosh. It is an app called Libby.
Okay.
And you just need a library card. It's free because it is the library. You just need a library card. and you go in, you attach it to your library card number.
Interesting.
And then you can borrow books. You can do audiobooks, e-books. You can do magazines, which is really fun because I never want to buy magazines.
No.
But sometimes I like to flip through them.
Yeah.
It would be fun if you had an iPad, I think, as well.
I got an iPad.
Because it would be big. Whereas, like, looking at a magazine on my phone, I'm, like, zooming in.
Yeah, me too. I hate looking at those magazines. Like, those, you know, the flippy magazines on the phone drives me crazy. They never work as intended.
But it's really fun, and you can just send it straight to your Kindle. And obviously, like, there are, like, you do have to wait sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I'll place a hold on a book, and it's not available for, like, 3 weeks, or sometimes it's 3 months, or depending on the popularity of the book. So, you know, even when I'm outside on a walk or on a run, I'm listening to an audiobook I got via my phone.
It's me too.
Via the screen. Yeah.
Even when I'm doing the
it's
most
crazy.
Healthy thing that I do, which is run, right? I like to run. I don't know why I like to run. It's another thing that's going to kill my knees and leave me in the... anyway, when I run, the most healthy activity that I'm doing, out in nature, feeling good, fresh air in my face, I'm listening to something on some digital device. I've got the earphones in my ear, my watch that I'm constantly looking at. I noticed, like, when I was running last year, I'm obsessively looking at my watch to see how fast I'm going, how far I've gone, when I'm gonna, you know. And you know
what? I understand that. Good.
I started to take the watch off because I'm like, this is ridiculous. I have a phone in my pocket that can do the same thing, and I don't need to look at my watch every 15 seconds. That's not the point. I'm not fucking, Michael Johnson. I'm not going to win any Olympic medals for my running. Why not just enjoy the run, no matter how long it takes or where we're going or how fast I happen to be doing a mile?
Yeah.
What am I thinking?
I totally get that because I do like to monitor my heart rate. And I like to I'm trying to better my cardiovascular health, like, specifically. So I am trying to run within a certain heart rate range. And
Fair
it's very hard because I have to go a lot slower than I think I want to go.
Yes.
You know? And so I spend the whole time being like, oh, am I at 130? Am I at 130 or whatever? Being like, and then I have to walk and then I have to go. And so sometimes I will just literally not look at it all. I take the pace alerts off. I take all the alerts off and I'm like, I'm just running for fun right now.
Yeah, good for you.
But I will say my favorite way to run is with a buddy when I can just chat the whole time.
Yeah, see, I run out of breath when I do that. Me and my friend, Raphael.
Well, it's good for you.
Yeah, that's good. It's good for me?
It's good for you to learn to talk and run because it's really good for your health.
Well, yeah. I was just reading, and I don't know how we got on this subject, but who cares? That's the that's a commercial
it's
break
fine.
In a nutshell. I was reading, or Astrid was reading, she was telling me that Taylor Swift, the second that she started to think about putting together this Eras Tour,
I saw this too.
Got on the treadmill and started singing her songs day after day, night after night. She would just get on the treadmill, she'd run, and she'd sing her songs. Now,
well, that's what Broadway stars do.
Oh, they do?
Mm-hmm.
And
they've done that for years.
Well, listen, the Broadway bitches have a good... They know that you have to be up there singing and running around and remembering your lines and all that other stuff. But I will say this. And I know this is going to be controversial in some circles, which circles I don't know, but I'm about to probably start some controversy in somebody's life.
Sure.
My daughters, my wife, they're now obsessed with Taylor Swift. They got that movie, the Eras Tour movie came out on Amazon. We rented it. It's like, you know, $180,000 for 24 hours of watching, 48 hours, whatever it is. And so it's been on, or it was on last week for like two straight days. Just the girls were watching it over and over and over again. Even my son was getting into it, dancing and doing all the stuff. But I noticed that I think Taylor is lip syncing at certain parts in the concert. Now, I'm not knocking her. When you're doing a concert like that, you gotta catch your breath at some point. When all that intense running, but I do notice that the way that she moves her microphone around does not jive with what I'm hearing. And I'm really keen on this. They might be overdubbing it for the movie. Maybe.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking for the movie, they probably took the best take.
Yes.
And filled it in.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would bet that that's what happened.
And I saw Astrid's arm in that movie because we were there.
Dream come true.
When they were filming it. And so with this one part, I managed to stop it and find it, and it's Astrid's hand is up in the air, and we know it's Astrid's hand because of the bracelets that she was wearing, and I was like, wow, that's exciting, you're in the movie.
And that's so funny.
Yeah, we want our residuals, but I don't think they're going to send them to us.
I don't think so.
No. And then they
she might be a billionaire, but you don't become a billionaire by being generous,
no,
do you?
No, you know how you become a billionaire? You become a billionaire by selling multiple versions of the same fucking album in different colors for extended pricing so that you can absolutely take every last penny out of your fans' pocketbooks. And this, I don't care for. I don't care for it. I just don't. Like, I think it's a little much. And I know that
The whole thing is, like, you cannot be a billionaire and be ethical.
No.
You just can't.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can be ethical, but you can't always do ethical things, right?
You can't have gotten that money in an completely ethical way.
No, like, not in 100%. No, I don't think so. But I'm not here to argue how people make their money, right? Because I think that's an exercise in futility a little bit. Because that's just capitalism. It's just going to work that way. And if there's a better system, and I'm sure there is, I can't wait for it. But at this moment in time, this is how it works, right? And so Taylor, taking advantage of every opportunity to get her bag, cool, whatever. Yeah. But this little thing really makes me a little bit upset about Taylor Swift. And I realize that there's a whole machine behind her, that the tail is definitely wagging the dog somewhere. I don't know who that is, you know, her PR people, her managers, whatever. But this one little thing really kind of made me upset when I learned it, which is, why do you have to put out 6 different colors of the same album and then market collectible, only put out a few of them?
And have people try and collect
them. Yes, and then try and like upcharge, you know, this particular record is
$119. It's taking the piss. 100% taking the piss. And I just can't really get behind that.
You know what
I can get behind?
Much as
I do love me a little bit of Taylor Swift.
Oh, man.
I also just like, it's okay to have critiques of your favorite artists. It's okay to not, be 100%.
It's like my mom used to say, I love you, but I just don't like what you're doing right now. You know what I'm saying? So I can understand. You know what I can get behind? 100% though, Christina?
What?
Is you saying, taking a piss. I like this. And I'll tell you why I like this. Because it's something the British people say a lot, and I love it. I was watching, have you ever seen The Mighty Boosh?
No.
Okay, this is probably not something you're going to be into, but The Mighty Boosh
probably not.
It's like Pee Wee Herman, like an adult Pee Wee Herman, even though Pee Wee Herman's Playhouse was adult in the first place. Uh-huh. It's like an adult version of Pee Wee's Playhouse on BBC. And it is, to me, it is like the ridiculousness is so funny sometimes. Mm-hmm. But in the show, they often say this, fair dues, instead of like, fair play or, fair enough.
Yeah.
They say fair dues. And I was like, that is so brilliant. So now, as a rule, on the commercial break, anytime you want to say fair enough, it's fair dues. And anytime someone is, being a bitch, you say, you see they're taking a piss. If we could just start talking like
piss.
If we could just be a little bit more like the Brits, I think we'd be okay.
I'll do my best to influence you in the best way. As you know, this is my familial legacy, so.
You are a Brit through and through.
I'm doing my best to get the language in there.
Christina, I think all of our listeners in the UK can agree. You're doing a great job of flag bearing on behalf of our EU listeners, of which there are 4.
Not in the EU anymore, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm still in my heart, though. In my heart, in my heart, you're still
in my heart. I can still go to Spain with no problem for a long time.
I know, but in reality, you have to stop by at least 2 checkpoints. Just letting you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back with more fun. Christina sitting in Chrissy's chair today. As Chrissy is out again for family reasons, for good reasons, by the way, for good reasons. We'll be back.
Look, I know you guys are getting really sick of me, but that is too bad. It's my job. Now, go to tcbpodcast.com for all of our audio and video content and get your little booty over to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for fully edited video episodes. Want to chat? Leave us a voicemail at 626-ASK-TCB3. Too embarrassed for your voice to be on the show? We understand. Text us instead at 855-TCB-8383. Can't even do that? No worries. Just follow us on TikTok at TCB Podcast and on Instagram at The Commercial Break. And if you can't even be seen doing that, just listen to these sponsors and let's get back to the show.
Hey, everybody. Wanted to let you know that this episode is sponsored in part by Factor. Okay, do you want to know what the single biggest challenge for me as a single person was? Shopping for, prepping, and cooking nutritious meals. Do you want to know what the biggest challenge for me as a human with 25 to 60 family members living in my house? Shopping for, prepping, and cooking a nutritious meal. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's a big stress point around here. And since I don't really know how to cook, that stress often falls on other family members. But this holiday season, we're going to try something different. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service, can help us fuel up fast for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to our door. Because Factor's never-frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, all you have to do is heat and enjoy. You can choose from over 35 weekly flavor-packed, fresh and never-frozen meals that support a healthy lifestyle and meet your meal preferences. And guess what? It's all delivered right to your front door. With Factor, we can be assured that we're making sustainable choices. They offset 100% of their delivery emissions and source 100% renewable electricity for their production sites and offices. Hey, look at that, a company who's trying to do some good. So head to factormeals.com/commercialbreak50 and use the code commercialbreak50 to get 50% off. That's code commercialbreak50 at factormeals.com/commercialbreak50 and get 50% off. We also want to thank Factor for being a sponsor of The Commercial Break. All right, we're back. I'm here with Christina, virtually, because I got this, because I'm quarantined. My whole house is quarantined. Did you hear about this story of this little page that worked for an assistant that worked for Ben Cardin, the senator? And he
the twink? The twink in the Senate?
Yes. The twink in the Senate making anal sex movies in the hearing room where they actually question potential Supreme Court justice.
Honestly, I am obsessed with that. Listen, I think that was a bold move. And you know what I say to that? I say, go off, queen. If Bill Clinton can do it, why can't we?
Hey. I'm not saying Bill Clinton should have done it either. But here's what I am saying. I don't know if I feel quite as liberal as you about this, but
I just think it's funny.
Here's what I think it's hilarious, actually. I saw some of the video and I was like, wow, you go. I mean, that was the full Monty. And
did not see the video, but I did see obviously the screenshots of the video.
Video where it was like, you know, they blurred out the hot action that was going on, but you can tell it's definitely two men having sex on a table.
I love that for them. I think that is hilarious.
If the motherfucking, whatever it is, 600 people that are up there supposedly making laws on our behalf and bettering the country can't do a motherfucking thing for 6 goddamn years, then why not use the room for hot man sex? That's all I gotta say.
Put it to good use.
Amen.
They're not doing anything else worthwhile.
The only thing that makes this better is if George Santos was the guy bending over the table. Only way that this is better.
That would have tipped me over the edge, I think.
Oh, my God. Like, I think of the United States Capitol, and I'm not precious about it, right? I don't revere it like a church.
Yeah.
But I do think that, you know, okay, we should have some kind of, I don't know what you call it, like deference to what's going on up there, you know, they're running the country and essentially setting the tone for the entire world. But this guy just broke it all down for us. He was like, nope, not the first one to have anal sex, not going to be the last one to have anal sex right here in this room.
That's the truth.
Where are the security guards? Who's hanging out?
Yeah, like, how did they get in there? Are there no cameras in there? Like, what's going on? I kind of feel like if they could get to that point and not be getting in trouble or getting kicked out, isn't that your fault?
You're kind of inviting it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it just feels like,
I agree.
I don't know.
I love to
say, that feels like your fault.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what my therapist would say about that one.
It's definitely not a healthy outlook, but I like to say that when I want to defer blame.
I love it. Listen, I kind of agree with you here. There's no cameras, no security guards outside. No one walks in for however long they've been sitting in there having sex. Mm-hmm. No one says a fucking word. The only way that we know about this is because one of the two parties involved decided to leak that fucking video. And
like,
you
this
know
has
they
definitely
did.
Happened before.
Oh, yeah, God, please.
You guys are fools if you think this ain't happening all over that town.
I had a friend out of college. Ooh. She was like a, I know, I had one friend. I had. Did you notice I said had?
Whoa.
Sweet, dude. You're amazing. Awesome. I had a friend out of college. She goes and she gets a job as a DC tour guide, but not like a tour guide driving a bus or big crowds or something like that. Private tour guide. And so in her job as a private tour guide, she would often interact with dignitaries, right? People who were like important people in other countries would come. Then somebody at somebody's office would call her up and say, take them on a tour of DC, the important parts of DC. And she knew this place inside and out, backward and forward, just like this guy does. Inside out, backward, forward. If you pick up what I'm putting down, my DD canters. My DD canters. So I went up there one time and she literally parked like half a block from the White House, like super restricted zone. She parked just like that guy's parking in your house. She
honestly, what the hell?
The landscapers are always causing trouble.
It's probably FedEx.
It's a truck.
They're always causing trouble. But it's directly outside my window. I'm so sorry.
Are you? No, it's okay. Are you recording in your bedroom?
Yeah, my sister's, my guest room.
That's your guest room? Are those live plants that are up above your head? Wow. That looks really good.
Thank you.
I like having live plants. I need to move these
paintings closer together, but...
Christina's got her bed, then above her bed is a shelf, and on that shelf, I don't know, three, four plants that look really healthy.
There's a lot going on here.
Christina, I applaud you. I can't I'm surprised any of my children are alive, let alone a plant.
Well, I mean, I don't have children, so I have more time for my plants.
Fair enough. I have one Christmas cactus that's made it like 15, 20 years.
Wow. Is it blooming this year?
It blooms. You know when it blooms? I'll tell you when it blooms. No, it doesn't bloom in November. It typically, when I had the plant, it was given to me as a house gift right before me and my ex-wife moved into our house. We're probably talking closer to 20 years now. Wow. That plant never bloomed the first Christmas. It never bloomed the second Christmas, the third Christmas, the fourth Christmas. After I got a divorce, I started dating a girl, and the girl started coming over to the house more frequently. When she came over, the plant bloomed, right? Now, I didn't put two and two together until I moved to the next place. Didn't bloom on Christmas, didn't bloom again for like another year. I started dating a woman. She started coming over and spending time at my house. It bloomed again. Then I started thinking to myself, okay, this is a little weird. I start dating somebody. They start kind of moving their stuff into my house and it blooms. Uh-huh. Did the same thing when Astrid came around. And now it blooms at random times. And sometimes it'll bloom twice in a year, which I hear is a little strange. Never does it on Christmas. But I don't know. She buds when she buds. I don't know. She does her thing.
That's crazy. You know what she is? She's a girl's girl.
She is a girl's girl. She's a girly
girl.
She's
a girl's girl.
That girl energy just sets her off. I don't know.
Yeah, she said, screw you, Brian. You know, I am here to bloom for the ladies.
You know, it's kind of like the myth that women, if they spend enough time with each other, will cycle. All of them
that
will cycle at the same time. Is it not? No, I'm kidding.
I know the truth. Yeah. I was like, no, I'm a beta bitch. My uterus just flies to whoever's closest. I really can't help it.
Isn't that weird? Is that
the really throws
thing?
Me off? Because if I start, it's just like
start messing up.
I'm such a little beta. I don't know. My body just wants to be a follower.
I don't know. I got 15 women in this house. I don't know what's going to happen when they all get to age of consent. I think it's going to get a little weird around here.
I mean, I've got two sisters, so I get it.
So this cactus. 15, 20 years on, and she blooms when she blooms. I think everyone's going to be on the same cycle pretty soon. They're all going to bloom at the same time. So this guy who goes in and has sex, here is like my overarching thought on this. First of all, it's crazy that he got away with this because it tells you exactly what's going on inside that Capitol. Nothing. No one gives a fuck. No one gives a shit. No one's watching anything. Number two is that you know. That one of those two released that sex tape because they knew this was going to happen. They were going to get noticed. They were going to have a little 15 minutes to shower themselves in fame and hopefully jumpstart their career in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Because when you put a video together like that, like I may or may not have in my past, when you do something like that, you know to keep that thing as tight as possible. Like, it's got to be in a secure location, on a secured server, locked away with multiple fingerprint identifications, eye scan. You cannot let that stuff float out there on the internet, because it just never comes back to you. Comes back to you. So there's only one of two ways that this happened. And it's likely that one of those gentlemen released that video. Why would they do that? I mean, the 15 minutes of fame, I get, but don't you suspect that you might get in trouble if you're in the...
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really seem to figure out their motivations at this point in time. I don't know if it was like they're proving a point or if it was like to make a little segue into a new career.
I think so, yeah.
Which is fair.
Fair.
I mean, government, not a great career, but sex work works out.
Hey, listen. I was listening to this comedian. I forget his name. I wish I could give him credit. And he says, I was reading the comments on an Instagram model who also does OnlyFans. And these guys were like, fucking whore, put your pussy away, blah, 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 fucking whore. And he had this brilliant, and I wish I could do it justice, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to repeat kind of what he said, paraphrasing. He said, yeah, you get him, Chad. You're going to go to the oil refinery and you're going to work 20, 30, 40, 50 years for the oil refinery, and she is going to work for OnlyFans. Guess what? Both of you are working for billionaires with way too much money that don't give a fuck about your personal feelings. Both of you are going to make a living doing what you're doing for the man. Both of you are getting fucked, but at least she's doing it to herself. So you know what, Chad? Go do your thing. And I was like, holy fucking shit, dude, you're so right. You are so right. Good for him. And so if OnlyFans is the place where these kids go, great. Fantastic. Do you, I have this, but this makes me ask a question. Do you think that it's possible that the reason why sex rates are declining, like we talked about last episode, the reason why sexual activity rates are declining in the young people in this country is because they're afraid that something, like there's going to be some kind of digital fingerprint around the sexual activity that they have. Like someone's going to record them. Someone's going to, you know, some weird shit is going to happen.
That's probably
be out there
part of it, because there is a lot of like, I don't know what exactly to call it, but I guess I would say it's not revenge porn, but like just people being like inconsiderate and like non-consent around that type of thing. So like that is scary.
Sure.
Like that's a very scary thought. But I think also it's probably the availability of like sexual media.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to seek someone else.
No, you don't.
To like get your rocks off, you know, and you don't have to, you know, rely on your imagination.
I
don't know. I feel like that's part of it. But then there's definitely like an aspect of like digital media just having gone too far, or like us having too much access to be able to hurt other people.
I agree with you. I think there's two things. I think number one, there's a fear around it. Like it can be a scary thing. Like God forbid you get pregnant in America in 2023 and you don't want, and you're not prepared for whatever reasons, health, medical, financial, emotional, right? Whatever the reasons are. But then on top of that, you do have this availability of so much fucking porn. There's so much dick out there on the internet. Like, you don't really need to go seek it out. Because the other thing is that the world of sexual, you know, pleasure toys, you know, dildos and pocket pussies and all that, they're so advanced. You don't, why would you need to find a human being? You can buy a sex doll for like $1,000 and live with her like some people do, as if she's human.
The sex dolls are crazy.
Oh my God, they're crazy. I tried to get someone to send me one, and so listen to this. So it's like, I don't know, episode 50, 60. And we do this episode about sex dolls. These guys that live with the sex dolls. There's one guy in particular in England who has a collection of 50 of them. And every one of them has a name. And 50. 50.
And does he use them all?
He uses them. I don't know if he uses them all. We watched this whole documentary. It was like 30 minutes long. But he has a wife also, right? So he's got a wife. They both live with these sex dolls. They both dress them up. They take turns feeding them. I don't even know what the fuck was going on.
I don't like that.
Yeah, no, it's delusional. No, it's really, really weird. But So anyway, so we do this whole thing, and then as a joke, I'm like, I've never even seen a like a sex doll in person. You know, I've seen them being made on videos and stuff like that, but I've never even seen a sex doll in person. I don't even know what they would like feel like or look like their actual, you know, texture. If anybody has one, if anyone knows how to get one, send it to me. So this guy texts me like a week and a half later, and he's like, listen, I'm just buying my third sex doll, but my first one, I'm ready to give it up. If you want it, I'll send it to you. And I'm like, fuck you will. The fuck you're going to be
your
sending me?
Used sex doll? No, thank you.
Toxic dump fucking sex doll.
My God.
What are you thinking? Why would I want that? Who wants a used sex doll? Although I'm sure you can buy
them. I understand sex dolls. And I don't think I understand the logistics of them because I've never had one. And I also don't have a penis. And I'm not, you know, I have a big functioning brain that is away from said penis.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough.
I'm like, I don't really know if I understand this. Like, are you fucking the doll? Are you, are you, are you coming in the doll?
Yes.
How do you clean it up?
There's a whole cleaning kit that comes with it.
It's can like, you take the vagina area and pull it out?
I think so, yes. In some of those sex dolls, yes. You can take off the vagina and the anus. And
oh, you take it off?
Yeah, you like pull it out.
I was thinking it would be like pulling a sock inside out, you know?
Oh, God, just the thought of that just gave me the willies. Like, but I.
Well, it's a doll. I mean, yeah. It's a blow-up doll.
It's not a blow-up doll.
It's not blow-up.
No. It is a, it weighs like 150 pounds.
Oh my God, I hate this so much.
They are like exoskeletons. They, with rubber that feels like real skin, painted.
You know what it's hair. Kind of giving? It's kind of giving weighted blanket. Like, kind of giving anxiety. Like, these are for the lonely boys who have anxiety. And they're like, I want a lady to just suffocate me.
To just lay on me. Yeah, just put your big tits right in front of my face and just go to sleep with me.
So, like, what's it made of then? Like, what does it feel like?
I don't know. That's why I don't know what it feels like, but I've seen videos. It looks like it's like really soft rubber, the body is, so it ends up in the skin feels
kind of tacky, like skin is,
I guess. Yeah, kind of tacky, you know how that plastic, like think of like a ball that you squeeze at work, right? One of those stress ball. I imagine the texture is kind of like that.
Foamy.
Yeah, like a little squishy, squeezy. And
I don't think I like this.
Yeah, no, I don't think I would have sex with one. I know I wouldn't, because I just don't know how you feel.
I don't know how you could maintain an erection.
Listen, to each their own, right? I mean, if that's what turns you on.
For me.
No, I wouldn't. I don't think I could ever. I don't think I could get in the mood. Like,
I think, exactly. I feel like I would be, like, I'd be too in my head because there's no one to talk to.
Yeah. Sex is awkward enough without having it be plastic. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's just awkward enough.
I think
enough.
It's a texture thing for me. I think it's the fact that it's, like, made of rubber and stuff and, like, squishy probably.
Agreed.
That I'm like, I don't think I'd be able to, like, feel right about it.
I think it's like the dead inanimate eyes that I think would get me. Like, I wouldn't want something staring at me like that, right? Like, I'm having sex with someone that can't
move their
eyeballs.
You could put a little sleeping mask on her and pretend it's like bondage.
That's true. I could do that, or I could just just turn her over and then not have to worry about the eyes. But then that's even more strange. And at 150 pounds, I'm not strong enough to carry that thing around. It's going to have to be in a position. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to have to set it up and just knock it out and then be done. But just thinking about this, there is nothing, and I mean nothing, that turns me on about that. Not a thing. Because I just like
neither.
A heartbeat. I mean, that's one thing that I request
that's
in my lovers is a heartbeat. That's all I request. Just a heartbeat. Yeah,
and a
heartbeat.
Smile.
Well, I don't always get smiles, but, you know, that's for extenuating circumstances. These guys are, but I do understand that not everybody has swagger. Not everybody's got the riz. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So if not everybody,
I mean, I'm the head of Jizzin' and Rizzin'.
You are
so
the head of Jizzin' and Rizzin'. And so you do understand that it's not always easy for anybody, male, female, or otherwise, to walk into a bar, meet somebody, go through the dance, take them home. That's a whole dance that some people, I think, just really struggle with. They get blocked, right? It's like writer's block. They get blocked, and you do that for years and years and years. You're just lonely. Like, you just want something to feel like a human being laying next to you. Now, it's not going to talk to you or, you know, tell you how great of a job you did. But I guess that's the point, too, is that like
that's where you get a little recorder like the ones they put in like Build-A-Bears. And be like, great job, Christina. I love you so much. And then you put it in there and you press this little button and then you can spoon at night and be like, oh, I'm the best. I love this for me.
Your dick is the best, Brian. Thanks again for fucking me so hard. You almost knocked my fake pussy out. Good night, sweetie.
Love that. Thanks again.
This is the fourth time today. Thanks again. Remember to clean me.
Remember to clean me. Don't forget to remove my pussy.
Yes.
Remove my pussy, but don't use bleach. Remember don't what happened last time. Don't put it in the dishwasher.
Is not dishwasher safe.
Remember to put my dead cold eyes in the laundry. Thank you.
Oh, taking the eyes out. That's cold, Brian.
Well, listen, if I'm going to, if this ever happens, if like I'm the last man standing on Earth and I have to break into the sex shop, if I'm the last man, I guess I'm not breaking into anything. It's all mine anyway. But if I'm the last man on Earth and I have to break into the sex shop and get the sex doll because God forbid no one's here to help me to have love with, then if that happens, I'm taking the eyes out because I just don't want those dead cold eyes staring at me. I don't even want the dog in the room. Fair enough. All right, let's take one more break. We'll get over our sex doll talk. And then we'll be back with an even more interesting story than anal sex in the hearing room of Congress. We'll be right back.
Okay, Brian, shh. Let me give the people what they want. Our social media handles. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. If, like all my Hinge dates, you are thirsty for more, give us a call and leave us a message at 626-ASK-TCB3. Or send us a text, no sexting please, at 855-TCB-8383. And, of course, go to TCBpodcast.com to see everything there is to see. Now let's hear from our sponsors and then the show must go on.
All right, we're back. I'm here with Christina. Okay, are you ready for the most disturbing story of 2023? Hands down, without a doubt. Maybe the most disturbing story since the year 2000. And I don't know what was...
Oh, okay.
Since 2001, let's put it that way, because we all know the disturbing story of 2001. But this is highly disturbing. Caution.
Okay, I'm ready.
Trigger warning for anybody out there that might be attached to their genitals or any other part of their body currently. Ooh. And I just listen. Okay. Just listen to this. Here's the byline. Hotel worker cops to, quote, castrations by clamping streamed on ghoulish Unuk Mocker website. A worker at a Scottish hotel has admitted to participating in extreme body modification plots in which surgeries, including castrations, were carried out and streamed to paying customers on a website called Unuk Mocker, and I think I'm saying that correctly.
Eunuch Maker.
Eunuch Maker. Oh, Eunuch Maker. I never even thought about that.
I was thinking, is this a German website?
Well, here's
Unuk Mocker.
Unuk Mocker. Here's how it's said. Eunuchmaker. I guess we can say that maker. Yeah, Eunuch Maker. Okay. Unuk Mocker.
Unuk Mocker.
Unuk Mocker.
Brian, I am so glad that I am on this episode and not editing this episode because I would be screaming right now. Unukmaka.com.
It's not spelled like eunuch, and I thought it was a German website because, you know, the Germans are into all this kind of weird fucking shit. So
Unukmaka.
Unukmaka. Unukmaka.com.
Unukmaka.com. We will mock your eunuch.
Yeah. Unukmaka.com. We slice off your pee-pee, little boy. Who wants your pee-pee? Bye-bye. Oh, come to Unukmaka. Unukmaka.com. We take out your anus.
Oh, wow. We remove your anus. Okay. We will remove your anus.
We managed to not be serious for 2 seconds. This incredibly terrible story.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but you said Unuk Mocker. I mean, what was I supposed to do? I can't sit here and be like,
oh my God.
Yes, very serious.
Eunuch maker. I should have got that one like Unic 6 Maka. Days ago when I found this story.
That
oh my God.
Is fucking classic Brian Greene.
That is classic commercial break right there. Brian Greene is essentially the commercial break. Here we go. All right, ready? Ooh.
Yes,
I'm not even going to try and say this guy's last name. I'll say Ian, 28, a Romanian national living in London, is standing trial with 8 alleged co-conspirators who prosecutors say engaged in up to 29 incidents of extreme body modifications on 13 victims who had various body parts removed, including through castration by clamping. This is according to the BBC. The alleged conspiracy is said to involve ghoulish subculture in which healthy body parts, often the genitals, are either surgically removed or damaged to the point where medical intervention is required, usually involving amputation by a physician. The defendants are all alleged to belong to a bizarre collective in which men voluntarily remove their penis and testicles to become what adherents call nullos, or in as in genital nullification. So nullos is short for genital nullification. Footage of the grisly procedures was allegedly broadcast on a paid subscriber website called Eunuch Maker or Eunuch Maker.
Eunuch Maker.
Eunuch Maker. I removed my
pee-pee. Streaming now on eunuchmaker.com.
Oh, yes, my little blueberries. I'm cutting them off.
Oh my God. Okay.
$5.99 per month. The paid website called Eunuch Maker, operated by a Norway-born North London resident, Marius Gustavsson, 45, the alleged conspiracy ringleader, who is said to have generated up to $250,000 for group members from the broadcasts over the six-year plot. Gustavsson, who is in a wheelchair due to his own amputation, told the Irish Independent newspaper in February of 2020 that he willingly had his leg, penis, and part of his nipple removed by the group because he wanted to look like, quote-unquote, a Ken doll downstairs. He told the paper that he had performed similar nullifications on 58 other men and that he stored the excised genitals in a freezer or in alcohol on his property. Okay, then just goes on to talk about the court case.
Holy shit.
Holy shit is right. Now, I have heard of this. I have heard of people that need to take off their leg. It's like they can't have it on them. I've watched documentaries on this. They cannot take it. They just learn. It's like, I don't know. It'd be like if you had a pimple that just would never go away. You had to get rid of it. You had to find a way. You can't stop it. I don't want to feel it. I don't want to stare at it. I don't want to look at it. I just don't want it there. But their leg. But this guy takes it to a whole other level. He is literally creating eunuchs by body modification, but so extreme. So one of the I went and I did some investigation on both the website and this this ring of people who are doing this. The reality for a lot of the people who are getting this done is they are requesting that this be done. They are involved in the consent of this being done. The reason why it's such a big deal is because oftentimes these nullification, I don't even what you call them, rituals, they go wrong to the point where the ambulance has to be called and they have to finish it off in a surgical room.
Yeah.
So they're costing everybody a bunch of money and time, and they're putting lives in serious danger. Like, if you're going to take off your wink-wink, you better have a doctor in
wink,
the room.
Wink, wink.
If you're going to take off your twink, wink, you better have that thing, like, sterilized or something. You can't do it in the basement of Eunuch Maker. You know what I'm saying? Like, Eunuch Maker is not the place where you go to have this done. It's a surgery room where you have this done by professional doctors. But, of course, they will not do this. In the documentary that I watched, this guy was on such... so hell-bent to take off his legs, both of them, was so hell-bent to do that, that he was sticking his legs into ice baths for hours and hours and hours at a time, hoping to cut off enough circulation or get them frostbitten enough that there would be no choice but to do it. In another part of the documentary, this guy wanted his leg cut off so badly that he was like, putting like weird objects into his leg, hoping that it would cause damage to the nerves and to the muscles that they would have no choice but to take it off. This is a terribly disturbing trend that I'm sure has been going on since the birth of time, right? There's probably, this is probably something. It's obviously something. It's a mental thing.
That must be such a painful way to live.
I can't imagine being so upset with my dingle dangle that I'd want to just like cut it off. Now, I think it's a different story if you're like, if you want to transition, that's a different story. I think that has with the whole, not with the thing, with the whole, right? Feeling whole, feeling better.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And you're not like you're transitioning to a Ken doll. You're transitioning into a woman or back or into a man.
Or like wanting so badly to have your leg removed to feel like that is not part of your body must be really disorienting. It must be so strange.
There's got to be like a medicine that cures this. And I imagine
that gives me the heebie-jeebies.
It's Vicodin related because I've taken Vicodin. I don't give a shit about anything when I'm on Vicodin. So these people need to have special exceptions and let them just take as much Vicodin as they need to feel okay with their extremities. I can't imagine getting to a point where I need to take an extremity off. Remember that movie? What was it? 2.5 days, 48 hours, 49 and a half hours?
127
hours. 127
hours.
That movie is so disturbing to me. Mm-hmm. And I watched it, and who was the guy?
Creepy guy.
Creepy guy, yeah.
James Franco. Who also, coincidentally, in an episode of 30 Rock, was playing himself, who had a relationship with a sex doll.
I think I saw this episode. Yeah, yeah, look
how like him and Tina Fey's character start like a PR relationship.
I would like to say, just like a good episode of 30 Rock, that this all comes together and fits nicely because I planned it that way, but that's not at all how it happened. So just so you know. And every commercial break listener understands.
Yeah, they get it.
They get it. This is like This is a nightmare of mine that you wake up one day and just have to get rid of a leg. I was thinking about this the other night. Isn't it really scary?
Yeah.
Why do you think someone feels that way?
I don't know. I can only assume it's some form of like mental
obsessive compulsive disorder or something.
Oh, perhaps. I don't know. I mean, I don't think I know enough about like mental diagnoses to really have a guess, but again, I mean, it has to be mental, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a scientist.
No. But here's what I was talking to a friend about. If you get a leg cut off, what happens if you wake up one day and you're like, oh, I'm cool with my, you know, I'm cool with the leg. Can I put it back on? Like, once you do that, it's so extreme. You'll never, ever have a chance to walk on two legs again if you cut off one of your legs. Because you decide in some fit of whatever that, you know, you need to get your leg cut off.
Well, I guess that's one of those things. I mean, it's not really allowed. You can't just decide to remove your own leg.
No, and I don't think it should be allowed. If I'm being honest, I think
I agree. I'm with you because it's dangerous.
It's terribly dangerous. It's against every ethic that a doctor signs up for, right? And a surgeon signs up for. You have to do no harm. Yes, that's explicitly doing harm, even against the patient's better judgment. Listen, if you go to a psychiatrist for like 5 years or whatever, however long it is, right? And the psychiatrist then calls a medical doctor and says, this person will literally not be able to survive as a human being if they continue to have legs. Then in special circumstances, then I can see where a group of doctors gets together and figures out a plan, not for cutting it off, but for, I don't know, making it feel like it's cut off or,
I don't know, for their patient, something.
I don't know. When I was a kid, there was a guy who did these comedy videos. He was a golfer, or he pretended to be a Scottish golfer. But he would, I don't know if you've ever seen these videos, he would put two shoes on his knees, like he had his legs cut off, right? And he would walk around and do these silly things. He's like a comedian. I forget what the guy's name is. And I always thought that it was funny. But I was thinking to myself that maybe they could go that route. They just tape themselves with some shoes on.
Well, I think what would be interesting is like, what if you did cut your leg off or have your leg amputated and then you had phantom leg pain?
Oh, you're going to have phantom leg pain. Like, I have phantom ball pain and I just got a vasectomy.
That's fake. That's fake news, Brian.
I know. I swear to God.
Oh my God. Brian is so thirsty for attention. He needs to tell everyone that his balls hurt so bad.
I know. You should see me running around this house. I got like ball. I'm just.
Don't kick me in the balls.
I'm holding my youngest daughter. Yes.
I am with whoever told you you need to wear a cup, you should just be wearing a cup.
No, I can't. It's uncomfortable. Chrissy told me to
get a cup.
You
could wear like a chastity belt.
Yeah, I could. I mean, because I'm not getting laid right now, that's for sure. No one's having sex with this.
Astrid will throw away the key.
Astrid's grateful. She's like, yeah. Could he have a vasectomy every other week? So I am holding my daughter. I'm just like bouncing her around, trying to get her to go to sleep. And sometimes when she gets angry, she gets into this. She just like throws herself around. She's trying to get out, right? And she's getting irritated because she doesn't want to go to sleep. And so she takes that little leg of hers, which is not a little leg because my daughter's like a small giant. And she just, whoa-pow, right in my choogie changs. And I swear, Christina, I had to like ice and lay down. And then I was thinking to myself, I am such a big fucking baby. I am such a big fucking baby. Like, this is flu times 10, Brian. Stop acting like a big baby. Get up. Get out there. Act like an adult. You got kicked in the nuts. Okay, your VOD, you know, your whatever it's called, your Mas deferens is hurting a little bit. You'll be okay. There's literally millions of men that get this done every year.
Like, you're going to be just fine.
I'm going to be just fine. Everything's going
to
be okay.
It's so funny to me. Sometimes I am such a bitch. I just, like, don't believe men's pain. Which is such a hot take.
It is a hot take.
It's a hot take to have. Is it smart? Probably not, but whatever.
Well, I think this is probably a very popular opinion amongst women. And amongst women.
Yeah, well, I think we just know pain. And so sometimes when a man is like sick, I'm like, are you though?
Yeah.
But you know, I like treat them the way they've treated women for years.
Yeah, you know, there is like some scientific evidence that I read maybe about 7 months ago, 8 months ago, 9 months ago. We talked about a little bit on the show that men, we often ignore like brute force pain, like, you know, like arm breaking, and we'll be like, oh, it's okay, we're going to go to the doctor, and blah, 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 blah. But the smallest amount of pain, like a nondescript pain, like a flu or a cold or what, you know, a vasectomy,
paper
whatever
cut.
It is. Yeah, paper cut. That we interpret pain in a different way that makes us literally children. It makes us children when we get that kind of pain. And
that's interesting.
I don't disagree with that whatsoever because I'm a fucking child when I get sick. A child. And I don't
think it's the man flu for a reason.
It's called the man flu for a reason. And I watched that woman go through like 13 hours of fucking hell. She almost died on the table. And I watch her and she
three times
to this day. Oh. Three times. Well, once for real. Like one.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm not diminishing any of the experiences. I wasn't the one on the table, but I was the one watching it. And I'm telling you right now, it's intense.
Yeah. But I'm sure out of the millions of times she's had babies, they've all been truly horrific.
Horrific experiences. But she, my wife still to this day is like, it wasn't a big deal. And the three other people that were in the room, her mom, her dad, and myself, are all like, oh, no, 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 no. It was a big fucking deal. Like, it was a huge ordeal. And she's still like, no, not a big deal. And I have to give her such mad respect for those little nerves of hers because they do just great. I get a cold and I'm in bed for 7 days. I'm like, I don't want to get out of bed. I'm not feeling so good. I think we're just big babies.
Yeah,
Christina?
Maybe. I don't know. I just don't, I have a lot of sympathy.
When you get the flu, though, what do you do? What's your, like, what's your thing?
I take medicine, and then I go about my day.
Too.
I did have one day where I didn't have medicine when I had strep, and I had, a crazy fever all day, and so I was, like, in and out of, like, I was hot and cold, hot and cold. But then after that, I just took the medicine to reduce my fever, and I just got on with it, because it's kind of what you do.
Yeah, that's foreign to me. I complain a lot. I take as much time as possible before I take any medication because, of course, I'm going to complain about the medication making me feel loopy. And then I just let myself run that super high fever so I can complain some more. You know what I'm saying?
That's like so annoying. Yeah. Whenever people are like complaining about pain or like a fever or something, and this includes me because I will do the same thing.
Of course,
like, I won't realize that I have the means to fix this.
Yes.
And I'm like, ugh, why have I been sitting here literally dying for 4 hours when I could have just taken ibuprofen and not been such a little pussy-ass bitch, you know?
Because I think at some level, we're all like, you know, I'm tough enough to handle this. I don't need this, right?
Yeah.
But
or we're just like, I'm baby. I want to complain.
Yeah, I think that's
I don't know.
Listen, I'm never going to refuse an opportunity to cuddle up next to the womb of womanhood and, you know, complain a little bit. Because it
the
does.
The womb of womanhood.
The womb of womanhood. Because it makes us feel, I don't know, comforted and important and like the center of the universe is with us again because we are sick and we need all the attention now. It's just one of those things. I don't know, Christine. I can't explain it to you, but I understand it and I agree with it. I agree with it. I know.
It wouldn't hurt me to be a little nicer, though.
True story. True story. But you can't argue with the result. And the result is, it doesn't matter if you're a little bit nicer. We're still going to be little bitches when we get sick.
True. So why should I be nicer? Not going to. Sorry.
Have your fun. Dr. Phil said this. One of the few things I've ever heard Dr. Phil say that I might agree with. He said, if you really want to put a relationship to the test, it's not about going on a vacation and seeing if you guys can travel together. It's not about seeing whether or not you can meet the families and get along. It's about spend a week with them while they have the fucking flu. And then you'll find out if you really want to be a part of someone's life long term.
Yikes.
So that's why I didn't bring you here today. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Now you get it. Now you got it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I really do.
All right. Well, I got to go check out the Unik Mocker site and see if there's any updated videos.
I'm screaming, crying, throwing up about Unik Mocker.
Unik Mocker. It's got a picture that you would definitely think is Unik Mocker, by the way.
Oh, wow. Well, we'll see.
I'll see if you can see this. You probably won't be able to see this. It's way too small. But the front cover is like this guy all tied up in ropes.
Oh, you're not pointing it at the camera.
There we go. Good man tied up in ropes.
Oh, yes. Unik Mocker.
Unik Mocker. We cut off your wing wing.
Your twink twink wink wink. Is that what you said?
Twink wink. Your twink
your twink wink.
I'll leave the twink winks for the guys on the Capitol. All right. TCBpodcast.com. That's where you go. You find out more information about the show. You can watch all the video, listen to all the audio, and you can get your free piggy fronting sticker. You know how you do that? You go to the website, you hit the contact us button, you leave us your physical address, and we'll send one off in 2 to 7 weeks. Don't worry, it'll be there way before next Christmas. I promise. Okay, people are going to get mad at me, but I have to admit I made a mistake. When I started announcing the piggy fronting sticker was ready to be sent out, it had not even been sent to the printers yet. I thought it had, but it didn't. So if you asked for one like a month and a half ago and you haven't received it yet, it's just because they're going out now. I made a mistake and I didn't know until a week ago and I waited as long as possible.
Brian is the problem.
Always.
Heart.
Heart. Love y'all.
Love you mean it.
Love you mean it. 626 ask TCB the number 3. That's 1626 ask TCB the number 3. Comments, questions, concerns, content ideas, toll free from anywhere in the world. You can text us or you can call, leave us a voicemail. Be aware that your voice might be used if you leave us a voicemail. So please don't leave any identifying information or any information like I just cut off my twink wink if you don't want that said out loud. At the commercial break on Instagram, TCB podcast on TikTok, and for God's sakes, go to the YouTube channel. YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak, as Dr. Phil would say. All right. That's definitely all I can do today. But Christina, love you. Best to you.
Best to you. And love you mean it.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Christina and I always say we do say and we must say
goodbye.